On the day President Obama addresses his legacy, we'll put some numbers to his economic record. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. This evening in Chicago, Barack Obama is set to make his last speech as the 44th president. He sees this as a chance to celebrate the country's progress over the last 8 years and, quote, offer some thoughts on where we all go from here. The speech comes as the U.S. economy just had 75 consecutive months of job growth, growth that still has left many Americans behind. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
President Obama is handing off a far better economy than he inherited.
Certainly the starting point was a severe recession. So relative to that, the economy's come a long way.
That's Jim O'Sullivan with High Frequency Economics. Employers have added more than 11 million jobs. Median household income is up more than 15%. And the unemployment rate has fallen by more than half since its peak. But how much credit can the president take?
There's no question there are some major secular trends which would have occurred regardless of who the president was.
But Betsy Stevenson, who served on the White House Council of Economic Advisors, says efforts to stabilize the financial sector, a stimulus package, and a bailout of the auto industry helped.
There were important steps that had to be taken, and those decisions led to the U.S. having much better outcomes than other countries.
Critics point to sluggish economic growth and the near doubling of the national debt, problems President-elect Donald Trump will inherit on January 20th. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's check some markets. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up slightly 2.5 hours before the opening bell here. The Dow future is up 3 points. A benchmark interest rate, the 10-year Treasury yield, is up at about 2.38%. Despite the most enduring trade embargo in modern history, Cuba has been able to develop a quite impressive biotech and pharmaceutical industry. But the possibility of refreezing U.S.-Cuba relations in the Trump administration could affect international access to Cuban drugs, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Sometimes a simple human moment can make big things happen, like this. A woman named Gisela Gonzalez was visiting her Cuban family here in the U.S. She's a doctor, and she decided to give the local hospital a call. Now, it's not just any hospital. It's Roswell Park Cancer Center, one of the most renowned of its kind in America. Thomas Schwab works there, and he remembers what she said.
Hey, listen, I'm an immunologist. What are you guys doing?
That one cold call sparked an international partnership between the U.S. and Cuba. Now, the group is getting ready to launch a clinical trial of a vaccine for lung cancer. If it had been developed here, this would mean big money for the pharmaceutical companies. But it wasn't. It was developed in Cuba. Thomas Schwab at Roswell Park Cancer Center reminds us that the pharmaceutical business there is really different.
They are not primarily interested in big money from big pharma, and in part because they haven't had access to that.
Because, like everything else, the pharmaceutical industry in Cuba is run by the state. In the 1990s, it became an industry when Fidel Castro decided to invest a lot of money into it. Richard Feinberg is author of the book Open for Business, Building the New Cuban Economy. He says what Americans don't realize is that Cubans are producing a lot.
But what they haven't been able to do is really market on a global basis.
Cuba is selling some drugs to a few places, India, China, Brazil, to treat things like cholera, meningitis, and cancer.
But to really break into the big industrial markets, they need to form alliances with either large research centers or major pharmaceutical companies.
Now, with President-elect Donald Trump threatening to refreeze relations between the U.S. and Cuba, those alliances could be a lot tougher to make happen. Cancer researchers at Roswell Park just want this lung cancer vaccine available here, and it could happen. If it does, it's going to take a while. But Cuba has some 20 more cancer treatments on the island that Americans don't have access to. Yet. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
You might say the big football story of the day is Clemson coming from behind with 1 second left to beat Alabama 35-31. Globally, the big football story today involves the more rounded ball. There's news the FIFA World Cup will go from 32 to 48 national teams, a more than 50% expansion by the year 2026. 80 World Cup games versus 64 will bring in more revenue and some welcome headlines, given the years of stories about corruption within international soccer's governing body. We got BBC business reporter Russell Padmore on the line from London this morning.
The Soccer World Cup, the world's biggest sports occasion, played every 4 years, is going to expand significantly. And effectively, by having an extra number of teams, those places in the once every 4 years tournament will probably go to countries in Africa or Asia. And naturally, those member nations will vote for this plan because there's something in it for them.
And you can imagine some global brands being very happy to advertise to an expanded audience.
Yes, we saw after the allegations of corruption, some of the world's big brands actually thinking twice about their sponsorship of the World Cup. All that has changed now, though, with the governing body expecting to make something like $5.5 billion from the tournament in Russia. And by expanding the 2018 tournament with the extra teams, we're talking about maybe another $500 million extra dollars in marketing and revenue. So you can see expanding the tournament means more in those valuable broadcast rights and maybe something that could be of great interest to soccer or football fans in America. The US could be on the agenda for maybe hosting the tournament in 2026.
The BBC's Russell Padmore, thanks for following this.
David, thanks.
And the piece of Yahoo not going to Verizon is changing its name. It's the part that owns a nice ripe piece of Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba. That chunk of Yahoo will soon be called Altaba. If you take the words alternate and Alibaba, you get Altaba. If you mix the words all and babble, you get much of the same thing. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Jake Gorski. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.